Thank you. Well, yesterday I attended, had the privilege of attending the Immigration Summit, which is held at Pier 21. And it was really one of the first of its kind. There's been lots of conversation about this, but this is, they felt it was the first time that they've actually started talking about it and being real about it. And I think the Syrian refugees have kind of not opened the doors for this, but have got people motivated to talk about immigration in a big way. So it was a really, really interesting and lots of positive energy, and people had lots of great ideas. So, but some of the key things that came out, that it was kind of talked about during the whole thing was the word immigrants. And it's a word that needs to be changed, because we always, when we hear immigrant, we think of race and religion, and it's really about welcoming newcomers. And newcomers can be anyone. If you're from New Brunswick, coming to our province, coming from out west, coming from across the pond, it's about coming to our community. And this was a feeling that was across the board for the group, that this is a new way of talking about it. So we obviously know that newcomers enrich our province. What they bring to our communities is quite amazing, and it obviously at the summit everyone was talking about their communities and what advantages there were, and lots of talk around employment, but then there's long-range conversation about what the benefits of longer, far-reaching employment will do for us. So a lot of numbers around that. The other concept that we still talk about, and I was surprised to hear about it in the last few meetings that I went to, was that immigrants are coming as field workers and working on farms. That is a total misdemeanor. It needs to change, because immigrants are coming and they have qualifications and they're doing amazing things. So again, it's changing the conversation about the word immigrants and immigration. Clearly, the face-to-face service that we've had in the past that we've enjoyed is totally gone. We have one person that works from the other side of Truro to the end of Yarmouth, and I don't think we've ever met that person, and I don't know whether that person actually exists, but there is no one-on-one. We have places like the Y in Bridgewater that's now our outreach settlement person, and I've put a request in to have her make a presentation, but again, very small organization with a lot to do and a lot of space to cover. So that seemed to be the common theme as well, that you need to have more space. You know, they were really thrilled to show me the new app and how people can do that, but I think everybody knows there's so much more after you fill in that application, that it's about the ongoing support. So that seemed to be another common conversation. Retention of these people once we have newcomers come to our province, it's so important to have that support system in the background, and part of that support is, again, a huge part of the conversation was that we are welcoming, but we're not. Just let me make sure I have that right. We are welcoming, but not friendly. And what they mean by that is that we are quick to welcome people to our community, but the ongoing process is not in place. And again, this is across Nova Scotia. They are not directing this at one community. This is everybody. We have to do a better job of welcoming and maintaining those friendships and those connections, because that's the support system that a lot of newcomers are looking for. And you know, it's a pretty easy one to change, because that's just the changing the way that we do things. So when we're talking about having events for Liverpool, then that's the newcomers are the people that you want to get involved and make them feel validated that, you know, they're part of the community. So it's a semi-big challenge, but I think it's an easy challenge that we could face. So So that kind of sums up what the day was about. It was a really enlightening day, and I was appreciated going.
Good, thank you. Any questions of Councilor Freddick? Councilor McLeod.
I have a question, Brian, and that is all the discoveries that you had yesterday, learning and sharing and that sort of thing with other municipalities and people that are involved in immigration services. What's the action plan? What happens with all this stuff? You just come back and we do our own thing, or has there been some follow-up to that?
No, there's actually an action plan in place, and this was just the first of the meetings. What they will do is they'll continue on.
Okay.
They are serious about immigration and taking it to a new level. It's important to our province.
And they meaning the department?
Departments, yes. Yep.
So we'll be hearing more about
that. Hearing lots more about that. The conversation is not going away. They talked about having a plan, a coalition plan, and having it visible for everyone to see. So it's not create a plan and put it on the shelf. It's creating a plan and having it seen by everybody and knowing that we're making the changes.
And an attitude change.
Huge attitude change. So.
Other questions, Councilor Porter? No. Thank you. We'll move on then. There's nothing on the corporate services. And nothing in particular under engineering and works, Councilor?
No, Brooklyn should be done next week.
Next week, yeah.
Next week? And that's the paving as well, is it? Yes. Good, that's okay. Great, they started late and...
Sure.
And that brings us to finance, Councilor Inglis.
Yes, I have a motion to put forward and then the financial report. The motion, I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approves the write-off of utility accounts totaling $2,095.59 as follows. Number 912106 for 213.51, number 912416 for 103.85, number 911712 for 151.63, number 912802 for 6492, number 911927 for 180.01, number 913431 for 196.20, number 912502 for 97.91, number 913003 for 811.39, number 900892 for 276.17.
Is there a seconder for that motion? Councillor Frederick has seconded it. Discussion on the motion. Councillor Inglis?
We do this, if I'm not mistaken, once
annually.
A year, annually. An annual cleanup item to get off the books and out of the hair of our good finance staff on accounts that just aren't going to be collectible. If the delinquents resurface, we bring them back into the equation before they get hooked up again. But people have died, people are unlocatable, et cetera. So this is just a housekeeping item. If it gets to this point from our staff, I know that it needs to be at that point. Yeah.
Okay, you ready for the question on the motion? All in favor of the motion? Thank you, it's unanimous. That brings us in to the financial statements for the first half of the year.
We have a few areas that are nearing the end of their budget or slightly over the budget line item. The call center maintenance is one of them that you're all aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Department heads are all monitoring their sections carefully, so you know we're all aware of the tight budget and the small surplus that we had budgeted for this year. A couple of cost centers are trending a little higher than the 50% for the year. Of course, all of our insurances are in there in full. A lot of the departments that are trending higher than the 50% are like our Works Department, Economic Development, Recreation, which are more seasonal driven, so higher end expenditures in the better months prior to moving into the winter.
Any questions of Jennifer? Councilor McLeod.
Jennifer, I know with the closure of the courthouse now, that was actually included in our budget?
It was.
Okay. So
we anticipated the end of June. They renewed to the end of October. And I don't know if I should say this out loud or not, but they have paid November's rent. So I'm anticipating they're probably going to call it back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny idea that... We may not be able to keep that.
Oh,
for now.
Yeah. That'll show as a little bit over budget.
Yeah, so our revenue item is over budget because we had budgeted to June and they had extended to the end of October, so it's going to show slightly over anyway. There'll be a little bit of maintenance. Of course, we'll maintain kind of keeping the area clean and kind of dusting. So it wouldn't be as much maintenance, but we will.
Heated for the winter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we will. Yeah. The regular maintenance of closing the building down, but yeah.
Other questions, Jennifer? It sounds like it's pretty good, Jennifer. Thank you. Recreation.
Norm, you matched your shirt to your presentation.
This is my first ever Pretzi presentation, so hold your collective breaths. You want to say that. Thank you for the opportunity to update you on the Ripple Effect Volunteer Recognition Program, which is included in this year's budget, and we hope will form the cornerstone of our volunteer recognition efforts for the next few years. Here we go. About volunteers, some stats for you. Interesting to note that while the rates of volunteerism are increasing, the average number of hours people volunteer is declining. Second to last stat should come as no surprise to anybody. The top 25% of volunteers contributed 78% of all volunteer hours. And then it stands to reason that most volunteer hours are contributed in Canada are from a small number of folks. And a question for you. In Nova Scotia, who volunteers more, youth or seniors?
I don't know.
I do.
Yeah, you peek ahead.
44% of seniors volunteer in Nova Scotia, while 65% of youth do, which is the highest of all age groups, and it's at least partially the inspiration for the Ripple Effect is from a young person, as we'll see. We'll meet her in just a moment.
Can I ask one more question? Is that because of the program in high school that everybody has to take?
At least partially.
Every high school student has to.
But that is still voluntary. That is still.
But they have to do it.
Understood. Volunteer recognition through the ages, at least in the 100 years that I've been in municipal government. The Provincial Volunteer Awards program has been in place since 1974. The town of Liverpool and County of Queens always sent each a representative volunteer. And then if you wonder why we pick two come February, that's why. And of course, those good folks are sent to the Westin each April for a big old volunteer recognition event hosted by the province. Locally, we've had smaller receptions. We've had volunteer fairs. Many of you remember Pig Roast, which was a huge volunteer recognition effort, but the number of people nominated has been steadily declining over the years, and I can recall 30, 35, 40 folks a year getting nominated, and I think a general fatigue exists with the current method of selection, and when we get five, it's kind of discouraging, because we all believe in this, of course. My Pretzi's really going well. I'm so impressed. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah. Enter. Might not be the time for praise.
Enter the Ripple Effect. It's inspiration. Young lady on the right is Nicola Killam. She's a first-year student at Dalhousie University. She's from Liverpool. She's been a staff of ours for three summers at the Milton Pool. That's her partner in crime on the left. And they've been joined at birth for most of their life. And you can see they have matching bathing suits. So that's when you know you're really close to somebody. And Nicola had an inspiration that she wanted to teach kids to swim. And kids that might not otherwise have the opportunity to do so because of their economic status, the disability, or whatever. So she needed some help, of course, to have this come to fruition. So she enlisted the help of Beth Woodford Collins, who was a teacher at the high school, and she helped her. And then they came to see me, and we helped her. We helped her develop a simple waiver, We loaned her all our gear from the Milton Pool because we didn't need it in the off season. We helped her with, we bought a few more life jackets. Some of the kids were smaller, larger. And then, of course, she needs a place to do it. And she went to see Melissa Robinson at the Best Western, who gave her all of her pool time at no charge. And then she needed some kids to populate the program, and she went to see Mr. Williamson, Charles Williamson at Wickwire, and he allowed them to come in there and do a needs assessment. He allowed them access to the grade 2 teachers, which is the target group, and then he allowed them to actually take the kids out of class, grade 2 kids, which you can imagine is a chore in the middle of the winter that we had, and get them ready for swimming. And, I mean, not to, it was disruptive, to say the least, and the school extended their insurance through the STIP program, Student Insurance Program, which meant that we, the region, didn't even have to insure the kids, which was, you know, phenomenal, and then they need to get there. And so Constable Windsor, Andrew Windsor from the RCMP, committed every Monday to drive these kids over to the Best Western, as did parents. My point being that at any point in the process, we could have just said, it's too much, you know, it's too much aggravation, it's too much whatever. But none of us did. And that's what we do in Queens. Or as Nicholas says, before I knew it, my small drop of an idea had become a ripple effect of kind people coming forward to offering to help, which at its essence is the ripple effect. And what was her inspiration? You folks probably know Kirk McLeod, his, her late cousin. He swam 10 miles in the ocean with cancer to raise money for a camp for kids who are also sick. What is the ripple effect? It is the three R's. Recognition, recognition, and recognition through a year-round initiative that will encourage all residents of Queens to recognize our volunteers. Continuous intake of folks to nominate each other. Our current process is we send nominations out round about December, Heather, roughly, because we have to have them to Halifax early in the new year, which is the crappiest time of the year to do anything. And we always get caught in this time crunch, and folks, they're more in Christmas mode, and that might be part of the reason why we don't get as many folks as we hope, but it's obviously it's not working, so we need to do more. And what will we do with these folks once the nominations are received? You get the point.
Yeah.
That was silence. That was for dramatic effect. Yeah. Who can nominate people to the ripple effect? He can. The guy pointing at himself. He can. She can. He can. And it's purely coincidental that the mayor's photo seems to be larger and more prominent than his. I just don't know how that happened, to be honest with you. He can. Shouldn't troll people's Facebook accounts, but I do. In short, all of you can. How do you nominate folks for the ripple effect? Well, we're still evolving this, but initially, once we get council's feedback on the program itself and any changes or alterations you might like, we'll do a big push out through our customary methods, paper, social media, our own website to familiarize folks with the program. I can see us putting the form itself, once developed, we've mailed to all volunteer groups, because that will still be a way that folks nominate. We'll also place an ad in the paper with the nomination form, just to give folks the impression, well, the correct impression, that you don't need to have a formal affiliation to start to recognize folks. We also be downloaded from our website. There, if you notice on our website, there is a volunteer subsection to it under the recreation pages. We're going to take that over and kind of not change it entirely, but make some changes to more reflect the ripple effect and our desire to recognize more people. Paper copy, I mean, not everybody uses the computer. You know, not everybody has that. Some people don't even have a computer, so we have to recognize more traditional ways. So a paper copy can be done. If somebody wants to call us, we'll take the information, we'll transcribe it, and folks can also email us with the information. So will it be some extra work from our support staff? Potentially, but that's okay. It's what we do. Those nominated, and we hope there'll be a good uptake on this, will then be considered by council for Queens's representative volunteer, and it's my hope that you have a lot more than five people to choose from when we sit down February, March to make that selection. Some other considerations, and you don't have to give me this feedback today, but a new method for selecting the way we do our representative volunteers might be. You typically now get a list of people who are, as much as is humanly possible, made anonymous, and then you pick two. So there's something to think about. What type of recognition, other than social media, is appropriate and important to able to be resourced? Like, do we give folks a coffee cup or a hat or a T-shirt? And we recognize that if we get a good uptake on that, then that has some expense, and we have to live within existing resources. There's a question for you. Perhaps in Volunteer Week in April, do we do an event? We get back to the days of where we gather everybody together as another type of thank you, type of recognition. And volunteerism versus random acts of kindness, and remembering Hamlin, Lisa, remember that story from last summer where she actually drove those folks because their car had broken down? She drove them up to the valley. Is that a volunteer act? No. No, it's not. And in this context, it probably wouldn't be considered, but are those types of actions important? Well, of course they are. It's reflective of our community. And that's one of the things we have to figure out, is kind of how to recognize both. Questions? That's the end of my first pressie.
Okay.
And it worked.
Before I even take any questions, I am to compliment Norm on his presentation.
Perfect.
Excellent. One of the best presentations I've seen.
And it's not just because it's better with.
It is.
You know
it moves well.
It's very good, Norm.
Thank you,
excellent.
Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Questions now? Yes, Peter.
Like previously, like the nominees were just given a present by the
council. Correct. That is the council.
It would be really nice to have an event with the nominees, and they have some real recognition, other than a council drop by and, you know, give them a present, say thank you, and do all the nice things.
I think we all recognize that.
They'd be proud of, and you know, they kind of dress up a little bit, maybe.
As you were talking, I was thinking of the approach we took when we were fundraising for the hospital. And we recognize that some people's ability to give is greater than others, but everybody of those 830 people made an effort. So we recognize the $5 gift to the same extent as we did the biggest one.
Yeah.
And it's the same with volunteerism, isn't it? Somebody has the ability to just do a little bit, but that's pretty important to them. So I would certainly be one who would support anything that recognizes all volunteers. So, yes, Jack, sorry, I want me off the soapbox.
Well, that's fine. The other thing, too, is that what we've done in the past is, you know, if you bring somebody in and to come in front of council, it's scary. You know, it's scary to be in front of
council.
But if you bring them into a setting, and then also, too, the other people who are chosen are taken off to Halifax or to the Westin. A lot of people, if you don't read this stuff, you don't know what happened. It just kind of goes through, and it's like it's never happened. But if you have something where you have a setting where you bring all the volunteers together and you can bring the community in, now you get recognition from your peers and from everybody else around.
And the good thing about that, Councillor Waterman and Fancy, is that would, Volunteer Week would take us into the new fiscal year. So if there was a cost that you wanted to do a little bit of food service, so we can able to resource that, because with this year we're developing a graphic image and we have some startup costs of it, so it's good to get us into April when we get a, and it's something for you folks to think about, is how and what we do. So.
And that was my question. Are you hoping to have this launched soon?
Next 2 weeks.
In the next 2 weeks.
Yep.
So we'll just put it out everywhere, and if we get 30 volunteers from one organization, how great. The big problem always is, as you alluded to, is the selection process.
Yep.
Because even though you try to make it anonymous, we still know who they are. But so how, or do we bother to send anybody? Do we, I don't know, how do you choose?
I didn't answer the question. I wouldn't send anybody. Constantly.
I got a bunch of stuff to say, and I'll answer that question because I'm really, really smart. I thought the highlight was going to be that your shirt matched the, and then it just went up from there. That's. I'm really glad you identified that that program, the way we're doing it, is stale. It doesn't give the proper recognition, and so I think this is a terrific idea. So the idea is that we're just stopping and saying thank you to folks, right? And recognizing what they're doing. And I love that program. We've gotten into that thing so often where, we're going line by line through a PowerPoint that's already on these pages. So that kept my mind on what you were talking about the whole time we were talking.
There you go.
So I love that. A couple of years ago, I got asked to go to Berwick because I'm not from Berwick. And judge a pageant. Imagine me and two little old ladies who also weren't from Berwick judge this pageant, which turned out to be a lot of fun. But the point was that I didn't know who any of the kids were, neither did the old ladies. So if we recognize all these people, if we recognize Darlene for cleaning up Carter's Beach, and then you put a blind form in front of me that says, this lady cleans up Carter's Beach, we really know who those are. Why don't we just pawn them off? Richard's got friends. He can designate somebody who picks our representative volunteer, if we're going to do it, that doesn't know who any of the people are, that just looks at them by their merit. Because when we see them, we still know who they are most often, because they're such active people in the community. So that would be an idea. But I love this. This is way better than what we've been doing, and it gives a chance to do lots of people. We'll have a nice event at the town hall, and we'll cater it with popcorn, chicken, and Dixie Lee.
Now that you've seen it, sorry, Mr. May, you don't just go away and never do nothing about it ever again, right? And
yeah.
I'm talking to you folks as well in the gallery. Once you've seen it, we'll remind you. But when you see somebody that's really cool, send in a form, or call us. And that, I don't want to use the F word, but the success of the program will be our ongoing initiative to stand in for and recognize folks. So.
Councilor Prudick.
Thank you, Norm. That was a great presentation.
You're welcome.
I'd love to go back to what the mayor was saying about if you're nominated, I think that is all that needs to be done. It doesn't matter what the process. If you're a volunteer versus someone that works 10 hours versus someone that works 100, you're still a volunteer and should be recognized. And for me, the idea would be just to have all those names that we've gathered over the year, put them in the hat and draw, because that 10-hour person is just as important as the 100. So I don't think that we should have to define them as to how great they are, because all volunteers are great no matter. So I would like to see that completely simplified and just recognize that anyone that's volunteered is...
Yeah,
deserves to be nominated.
If I could visualize a big do, a clean space for everybody who volunteers.
Yeah.
Rogue
town hall rather
town
quickly.
Hall,
so
we get hundreds.
We're
big enough.
We're going to need bigger.
We have
to build on the green.
And the biggest building in Queens now is the North Queens Fire Department. So who wants to get in next? I'm sorry, Peter, you...
That was a good idea. Even if each group sent one person that year, next year, they send another person out there. And just that way, because it did get kind of out of hand there the last few years with that.
Oh, yeah.
We had
hundreds and hundreds of
good.
good.
It was good, yeah. But
yeah.
Great. Got caught.
You're talking about the pig roast.
Yeah, the pig roast.
That was...
Just one more comment, if I could.
Ordered a pig.
As you think about where you might have it, think about not having it summers where it's going to be volunteers doing the work. I mean, when you, like, when we, like at Caledonia, for example, we hired a company to do that pig roast. When you start talking about, you know, so I just want to put that plug in, that if we're going to do something involving food, then we find someone that's going to cater rather than go to a hall and then... However, but it's a great idea. What the, those who Peter may remember and Norm may... Once upon a time, the council just took a select group of volunteer people, and they used to, we were never part of this, but they used to go to White Point and have some kind of fancy-dancy dinner and all council went and everything else. And we didn't like that.
Yeah, we did.
We didn't like that back in 2000 when we heard of it. So what we did is counselors waited on the volunteers.
Yeah.
And we had we did hot dogs, and we had music. And we as counselors were waited on the volunteers. And we did that for several years.
That was right.
And then it grew to like hundreds and hundreds of people. And it just became more, and then suddenly the counselors started falling off and, And then it became like, but
okay.
That's a good idea.
Okay, are we done?
Yeah.
A great idea, great presentation.
Thank you.
Dense, really, because I'm closing it off because it doesn't need further exploration. It does. It's good. We'll follow up. Thank you.
Good idea.
I'm now at, oh my gosh, Councillor McLeod.
Speaking of a ripple effect, I would like to make a motion for this to be discussed. 13.1.
Yeah.
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give notice of its intention to amend the land use bylaw to allow for up to 5 urban chickens in the restricted residential R1, general residential R2, mixed use rural residential R5, and mixed use coastal residential R6 zones subject to special requirements, and that a public hearing be scheduled for November the 24th, 2015 in the Council Chambers of the Municipal Building, 249 White Point Road, Liverpool, Nova Scotia, at 8:45 a.m.
Is there a second there? Seconded by Councillor Fisk. Discuss. Mike, do you want to just take us to the highlight of this?
I think a highlight is probably in order. I think we're all pretty familiar with this issue. And I guess further to earlier discussions with council, staff was requested to go away and prepare potential or draft requirements around allowing a limited number of chickens within our residential zones. When staff did some research as to what type of regulations were out there, as I guess a standalone bylaw dealing with this issue or incorporating this through the existing land use bylaw, there are a few municipalities around that we found that have a standalone domestic animal bylaw of which chickens are included. But the majority of municipalities who regulate this use do so through their land use bylaw. So it was, I guess, the recommendation of staff that this issue be looked at through the land use bylaw regulation. Because if a standalone bylaw was the mode of regulation, we would have to make amendments to our land use bylaw anyway to coincide with the standalone domestic animal bylaw. So, so with that, staff prepared some draft regulations around this type of use. Page 4 of the staff report is, I guess, an outline of what staff sees as reasonable regulation around allowing this type of use and allow staff reasonable control over the use, that it's not going to be minimizing potential for conflict with adjacent residential uses. So, as has been earlier mentioned, it's limiting the number of chickens to five. So regardless of the size of the property within the R1, R2, R5, and R6 zones, a maximum of five chickens would be permitted to be kept. The regulations address the chicken coops, where they can be located, setbacks from property lines, that sort of thing. A development permit would be required for the construction of the coop, thus allowing the municipality to, know where the properties that were keeping chickens. The proposed amendments include roosters, subject to special additional requirements such as increased minimum lot area, locations of coops from lot lines, things such as that. I know earlier discussion by some councillors was that that roosters perhaps shouldn't be permitted, and I guess I felt it was easier to, include that now, and if it's the decision of council to take that out, then try to throw something back in. So, so I think staff feels that these would be reasonable regulations around this type of use. So.
Discussion. Deputy Mayor Norman.
I didn't realize that this, and I guess we'll have debate on it later. I mean, I'll support the motion to, because that's what the motion is about, moving the meeting. But R5 and R6, that's like Caledonia, Port Lebert, Greenfield, Port Medway, every little spot from here outside of Liverpool. Five chickens is all? When I know people that have, like, everywhere's in the R5 and the R6, just five chickens?
I guess this is one part, Councillor, that I guess there's a lot of small lots, actually, and I guess I included those zones as well, because there's a lot of small lots that don't meet the 1 acre within the R5 and R6 zone. So you have these small lots, you can have up to five chickens, but if you've got larger lots, you get into the intensive or non-intensive livestock, where you can have up to 25 animal units per acre. So you're can go beyond that. So this is just an additional.
Oh, this is just for people under an acre.
It's essentially, it's for small lots within those. So you can still have more.
So people that still have their. Okay.
Careful on that, because certainly in beautiful downtown Caledonia, right next to the Flower Hall, which is a small lot, that's there too, there's a herd of chickens. And someone living across the street has a dozen, he told us, in some other. So it's a valid point and for consideration. I mean, we know the problem we're trying to resolve. Are we going to, by resolving it, create a new one? Okay, I'm sorry. Councillor McLeod.
That brings up my question, and that is, currently, does a non-conforming use then apply to ones that have them now that wasn't any control?
If it's an existing non-conforming use, then we can't control that.
Right.
I guess the regulations.
But if a person in the zone now has them, which really isn't allowed, then they have to go back and reapply, or did that, or are they included as a non-conforming use?
There's no bylaw against it.
Right, there isn't.
I guess the regulations as they come in apply from the step forward.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. So it doesn't affect anybody that actually has them now.
If they were legally entitled to keep them, I guess, if they're not legally entitled to keep them, if they're contrary to the bylaw, then they should conform to the regulations.
Councilor Waterman.
I'm not in favor of the rooster, because if you have five chickens, a rooster's main purpose is to create more chickens.
Well, I know a lot of
biology lessons.
You weren't going against your friend. You're trying to create more chicken. But it's true.
Whatever.
The packing water of a rooster.
The needs to be, and I'm thinking now of the dog bylaw, it's not unreasonable to expect someone to buy a day-old chicks.
and some of those are going to turn into roosters, unless you, you know, if you, unless you buy a pre-selected chick. And so at what age does a rooster become a rooster under this thing? Under the dog bylaw, I think it's 6 months, isn't it? It used to be at one time, if it's not now.
When you register.
So
yeah,
you, you may need to think about that, because I'm getting daddy looks from the back of the room. Okay, who else wants to come in? Susan?
Just another question, just for clarification, Mike. A development permit is required for a chicken coop, correct? So is there a fee for a development permit?
There's a $10 application.
That's very nominal.
Absolutely.
I'm just looking at all the concerns that were raised prior to this and just trying to clear up some misconceptions.
Councilor Waterman?
And again, with roosters, at the fire hall, there is a rooster. And I can hear him from my place. And that's half call. They do make a lot of noise, especially in the morning.
Councilor Norman?
I just, you know, I know this will be in the news media, because it will be. And I know my phone will be ringing and I'll have messages, because the sound, and we'll all have to fix it, but the sound of the message is R5, R6, 5 chickens. It doesn't say on undersized lot. But that's all. I mean, just so,
and I think that's
just so we get that straight, because I already know that my phone's going to be ringing when people who live where I live and everywhere else suddenly hear, because I've told them all they live in mixed coastal residential, I try to pound that in their head, that 5 chickens is what they're going to hear when they hear this, right? When they hear this motion. And Brittany knows, you had more than, you had more than 5 chickens. But that's what people are going to hear.
But that's not necessarily the case, or it's not the case. You go beyond, this is another category within that, so.
Okay, anybody else want to speak on this motion before I take the question?
No question.
All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you. I would like to say now you can put chickens behind you, but I don't think you can say that. Queen's Place and Mirror Center, item 14 on the agenda. Councillor Fancy and Steve.
Guess who doesn't play until the end?
Morning,
Steve Burns.
Morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Morning, Steve.
In your packet, in your council package, I did attach a projection or forecast to take us to the end of the year, and that forecast was completed at the beginning of October. So just going to give you a little feel for the revenues and expenditure, just hit a couple of high points, make a couple of points, I guess. So right now the forecasted revenue to head out to the end of the fiscal year will be $640,000, and that is above what the budgeted revenue was. And there's two particular reasons, I guess, why the forecast is at $640,000. The first being that there's an anticipated and expected uptake in ice rental hours that will be upwards of 140 versus where we budgeted for. So all things being equal, and that ice continuing to, the blocked ice to be rented, we anticipate that we will finish up around 233,000 on ice rentals. And then the other real positive piece there for the uptake on revenue was the concert. So we made a few extra dollars off the concert activity. The challenge right now is overall, I guess we'll talk fitness in general, the classes and the revenue from the memberships all put in personal training into one lump sum, and that requires some improvement in perhaps some of the product offering, just to tweak it, and then the marketing that go behind that to encourage an uptake to close the gap as we head into the end of the year. So we've got some ideas on that, and we're very appreciative that those are going to come before you soon. Under expenditures, we've projected that we'll be at $1.223 million, and that is up approximately $25,000, $26,000. Gunn has gone back and looked at all the lines and seen if there's anything that can be trimmed out. There were a few things that we're going to hold back and be as tight as we can on. The biggest challenge within the expenditure piece is the facility maintenance. So facility maintenance and power and fuel. One thing I'll mention, just this past week we had in our consultant and up two other large stakeholders of systems in the building, the Siemens and Simco people, and I'll soon be getting a report on some of the areas that we need to go back on and adjust and reprogram with and improve. So when that takes place, we'll come before you and let you know how that should proceed. And just to note, some very valuable training and information on the system for the crew was imparted by these individuals, so it will certainly be beneficial going forward. So overall, that's my comments on the revenue and expenditure. And if you have any questions on that right now, certainly ask, and I'll if I can't answer it right now, I will certainly get back to you.
So. Discussion, Deputy Manuel.
What happened to the heat from the ice making is going to heat the building? Like, whatever happened to that? Like, that is not happening. Obviously,
there's some optimization still to happen with all the systems in the building.
Is that what
going back to day one?
Originally, so it was thought that we could give heat to the Best Western. Like, we were going to have so much heat coming out of making ice. So
yeah, I don't know where that went. But
that we could give heat to neighboring commercial developments over there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you can't go back on these people these consultants that tell you this stuff and sell you this stuff. And
no, once you build these commissions, you're,
you should have put that windmill up. Like,
you know, just one thing to note, you know, there is heat recovery, and there's lots of heat capacity and too much for the building, but it's how the systems are optimized and integrated. I know that's a vague answer, but that's the reality.
So, did I understand you correctly that there's more room to optimize the system?
Yes.
And you have a plan, obviously, for doing that?
Yes, we're going to get a report. The system was built and comes in the use of two compressors. So, you know, we're looking at how can we, with the trending reports and stuff we can get, how can we get down to, I don't know, I'm going to say 6 months a year running with one compressor. There's even a valve that might not turn within a system, might only turn 90% that needs to turn 100. There's some of those that need to be, you know, fixed. There's adjustments to the various motors that run the different equipment that can be made now. And there's some programming that needs to be done to marry the whole thing up. So that's the nutshell of it.
Okay, because none of the employees that we have, with the exception of one, I think I'm right when I say that, was there on the when it opened. So virtually no one got the initial startup training on the equipment. So we're correcting that. And
good investment.
Okay. I'm sorry. Yes, Jennifer.
And you recall, too, those same consultants who told us we were going to have all this heat recovery and be able to bank it in the battery also told us that our power bill was going to be about $90,000 a year.
Yeah.
And
it's, what,
$225? Yeah. And we did have a stabilization of kilowatt hours in September, but still there's improvements that need to be made. We can get that stabilized more. Overall, you know, the mixture of fixes and maintenance that needs to be done will, you know, be beneficial cost in the end. So,
anybody else like to speak on this? The one comment I would make is I see that you're projecting a deficit of $1,459, which is a real improvement over what I had been hearing. Obviously, we don't want any deficit there, but certainly keep pushing in that direction, because we were over budget last year significantly, and the deficit was $561,000 last year. We just cannot afford to let that grow. Thank you very much.
Okay.
We have more of a lot than that.
The next item, two reports. And does anybody have any comments on them?
Certainly Kellyanne's busy on the site.
Yes, indeed.
And have we, never mind, sorry. I'll be quiet for one second.
I will then move on to item 16. And not seeing anybody, any committee that this would fall under, I'm going to give it to the Deputy Mayor to make the recommendation.
Yes.
Yeah, please.
It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality 1 respond indicating preliminary interest in being a venue for Tall Ships 2017 and 2 solicit interest from stakeholders including Events Liverpool, Port Mercy Commercial Park, the Regional Enterprise Network, and Government of Nova Scotia.
Is there a second of that motion? Councilor Inger seconding. Discussion.
I think it's certainly something that should be explored. I think stakeholders would need to be coming up with some dollars, but you know, it's certainly an item that if there's partnerships to be had, would really bring some people into the community. And I don't know, we can get a tall ship at Murphy's Wharf, I assume.
I suspect Port Mercy might be a better venue.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah, right. Of course. Right. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, but it would certainly bring people into the community and maybe an opportunity to showcase that there's something going on down there too. So to explore it would be.
There's no cost to making application now. We can always back out to a later date if we have to. Councilor Waterman.
One time we looked at Fort Midway. That's a deep little harbor there.
Great to put one in Port Medway, one at Port Mercy.
We're going to sail one up to Caledonia through the Medway.
Well, Frank there, one kind of a German member, hauled a boat out.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
I just,
since I made the motion and it's got the rent in it, I know I'm no longer on that board, but from the time I was there, I think it's been made clear that the Wren are not into tourism type this like stuff anymore. You know, they're not doing these one-offs and they're not giving money. So I just wondered how we see a partnership with them.
I don't know, but part of the mandate of this Wren, the South Shore Wren, is tourism. It's unusual in that regard. Councilor Frederick, sorry.
I've worked before as the chair of Privateer Days to bring a tall ship in. And of course for us it was challenging not only because of the date, because we're later in June, earlier than the tall ships go, but it was also what to do with them when they arrive, because you can't go to the main wharf. But in the end, we were very close to having one, and we were going to do dory rides back and forth. It was going to be moored in the harbor, and I think it just came down to the timing again of not being the right time, but there's certainly some options up there, and it draws a huge crowd, but challenging at best. But,
I've been to one in Shelburne. Mm.
Yep.
And I don't know how that water compares with the Port Mersey draft, but it seemed to work well. And you're dead right, it brought in a lot of people.
Yep.
Yes, Councilor McLeod.
I think it's a great opportunity and it's something that we certainly would benefit from, and being a historical location as well, and the tall ships and our heritage, very fitting.
Councilor Fancy.
How do they differentiate between the ships that you pay for? Is it something that with taller flags? Or
and that's a good question. So they've got three classes of ships. I would say we would likely have no interest whatsoever in a Class C ship. That's really just a big sailboat based on what I could see. And I'd be interested in finding out what might be available, because I would say that would, you know, privateer days, you know, if you could have a privateer type of ship, we'd be more interested than, you know, something that's just a big boat, maybe. I don't know. So I'd like to get there.
A big sailboat's no good to us. It's got to have some significance.
Yeah.
Yes, Councilor.
Just a comment. I know this would be a real interest to the Brooklyn Marina to organize some kind of event centered around this as well, to get them up and running again.
Sure,
some
get
kind
them
of festival.
To them too.
Yeah.
Okay, you ready for the question on the motion?
Question.
All in favor? It's unanimous, and thank you. That completes the open part of the council meeting. Council agenda.
Yeah.
I would entertain a motion to go in camera. Councilor Waterman moving. Councilor Frelick seconding. All in favor? We're in camera. Why don't we adjourn for 5 minutes and...